I never get tired. Or Norwegian?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Episode 27.
Stemmer.
Og som dere allerede har skjønt, så tar vi det på engelsk I dag.
Ja.
Av en grunn at vi har en engelsktalende eller amerikansktalende gjest.
Engelsk vel språket deres, så...
ikke amerikansk da? Nei, Rana.
Det heter engelsk, men ja.
Oh, ok, greit. Gi meg. Takk for meg. Ha det.
det står I hvert fall det på Translate.
ok, greit.
Engelsk, parentes, amerikansk.
Oh, ja, ja. ok, hva skjedde siden sist? Eller skal vi ta det på engelsk, kanskje?
Vi kan godt ta det på engelsk for meg.
Ja, det det gøy å ta alt på engelsk, så det en sammenheng.
Ok.
Ok, what's happened since last time?
Not much for me, actually, but... I've actually started dating someone.
Hey, yeah,
that's happened.
Yeah, and you haven't told us that on.
No, I haven't. On record. I haven't told her that I'm gonna say this. So this is totally improvised.
but not by name though, so it's fine.
Yeah, of course yeah. I won't.
Okay, how has that been during this Corona time that I'm so tired of saying, but you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I really get what you're saying. It's been really good.
Yeah,
she's lovely,
and I think it's like a positive thing during a day or a week to like actually get to know someone new, and especially in that way, like dating.
Yeah, definitely.
I see that you're more happy than you've been.
yeah, of course.
So it shows off.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
Yeah. Should and we talk about something else than my
so
dating
nice
life?
So nice to see you blush for once.
yeah.
No, cool.
What about you? You've been, can we tell that?
What?
You've been stood up, kind of.
Yeah, I've been. That was sad. But I'm not sure if it was on purpose or not, so that's my issue. So I don't know what to do about that.
No.
I'm a little stuck.
You should do what I told you.
But I won't do that, that's rude. No, especially if it's not on purpose, then it's just rude to send the Ghostbuster song. Because yeah, I'm not sure if I'm ghosted yet.
Yeah, but I'm not like, you shouldn't just post the song on the chat, but you should like, you should ask her first, like, should you listen to this song?
I could do that, but I'm not sure. But I think the problem is that I've only received messages and my messages hasn't been delivered. I think that's the problem.
Yeah,
it's something wrong with the app or whatever.
Yeah,
but I don't have the issues with anyone else, so that's also why I'm a little bit insecure about it. But I don't know, I will figure it out. I will tell you next time if I figure it out.
Yeah, well, but you also been doing something else. You've been having a lot of schoolwork.
Yes, I've had two of my three finals, or the bachelor is the last final, and working a lot. It's booming in the flower season now. So it's a lot of work at the flower shop. So especially now before the National Day, 17th of May.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So it's a lot. Even though it's a weird time this year, we still sell a lot of flowers. People want to like get flowers in their home and feel better about living with a lot of colors, especially our three colors of Norway this month. And there are going to be a lot of speeches and memorials, things for the war and stuff. So they also, yeah, decorate a lot around in the city. So we still sell a lot of flowers, actually.
Yeah.
So that's fun to have a lot to do in work, at work. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been wanting to get a lot of like plants for the studio.
Yeah.
Here.
I can provide.
You can.
Just tell me and I'll fix it.
Yeah. should we go over to the today's theme?
That must be the fastest recap we'd ever have. That was interesting all the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it was. Okay, this week's guest and this week's themes after the jingle.
Mangfoldspodden.
Ha 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 ha. had so much fun making that one.
Yeah, especially with your roommate laughing in the background.
You hear it.
If you're silent enough, you can hear his laugh in the background from the other room. So it's really fun.
Yeah.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you for having me.
Home studio.
Home studio. Definitely.
Home studio. Yeah, definitely home studio.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your name? We can start with that.
Yeah, my name is Dion Isaiah Hargrave.
Nice. And you're not Norwegian.
No, I'm not Norwegian.
So, but you speak a little bit Norwegian.
Yeah, I can snuck a little Norsk.
Yeah.
Oh, it's getting better.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But you're from America.
Yes.
Yes.
United States.
Mm-hmm. Which part? You're from South Carolina.
Yes, Charleston, South Carolina. We say Chucktown.
Chucktown. Okay.
Cool. But your Hargrave, that's not American, that's Norwegian.
Hargrave is, I actually believe it's English.
Yeah, I've actually seen it. Oh, okay. Because I thought it was your wife's name.
No, my wife's name is Holland. Her maiden name was Holland.
Okay.
So. But you say here Hargrave.
Hargrave.
So I'm like, no, Hargrave.
I've always thought it was your wife's name.
No.
Should we ask the last usual questions before we go over to the theme?
Yeah. What's your job/occupation?
I consider myself a full-fledged kind of like singer-songwriter.
Mm.
But on my job is... I have two. I do a job called Fritidsklubben, or we call it a recreational club.
Yeah. Mm.
So basically kids can come and hang out and we get to camaraderie and just enjoy and let the kids have fun hanging out and things like that.
Mm.
And then I do self-promotional work as far as online music promotion. So I help artists to get their music heard.
Yeah.
If they don't have the budget or anything like that, that's my job.
Yeah.
So
you've actually gotten a lot better at that, or really good at that.
I really appreciate it, man.
your last few songs have gotten over 100,000 views on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Your last single, Get Back to You, that's really booming right now.
Yeah, it's booming. It's going crazy. So I'm really excited. I definitely believe we're going to be approaching 200K. Probably in another month or month and a half. So.
Yeah.
That's great.
That also got listed for several weeks at the NRK MP3.
Yeah. Actually, the funny thing is it premiered 2 weeks before its release.
Oh, yeah. What?
2 weeks before its release.
Is that allowed?
Exclusive.
I thought it wasn't allowed, but it is. And so actually, I think that was kind of the push it gave for, because now most of the listeners on Spotify is from, on Get Back to You is from Norway.
Awesome.
So
that's great.
Enoko and Petra was a big help.
Oh, but I've seen they do that before, actually, especially at like MP3 and Energy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That they get the music before it's released and play it.
Yeah.
So you can only play it that one time it's on the radio, but you can't actually find it yet because it's not released.
Exactly.
Yet.
But it's also been placed it on the C list.
Awesome.
So it's been playing for about 11-15 weeks. On a rotation, so
royalties,
royalties, money.
We're starting to get a lot of like celebrities in our studio now.
I'm flattered, celebrity. I'm not there yet, but I like that C word.
But you know, when you later get more like known and famous, we can say but we haven't had him in our studio first.
Last week we had Nicholas from IMK and talked about
body ideals and and like the pressure of social media and stuff. Especially for men.
Mm, yeah.
So we talked a lot about that. Yeah.
That's cool.
But
this week we're going to talk about something else.
Yes.
Yes.
I want to talk with you about like your story, how you came here to Norway and how it's been living here in Norway and all of that stuff. But like on the subject of racial prejudice, especially, but like also prejudice in general.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk too much about this here in Norway.
No,
we don't.
No.
I think it makes us too uncomfortable or something.
Well, what I can do is I can talk to you about, you know, how I came to Norway.
Yeah.
And then
Sorry for stopping you.
No.
I also really want to hear a little bit more about your story from back home.
Yeah.
Because you have...
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Yeah. So yeah. The American background, maybe?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in a religious sect.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so...
That must be different, or like...
Yeah, it's different. Your life is completely controlled by one person.
Oh.
And
A leader, kind of?
Yeah,
a leader. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Almost like dictator. He was like a dictator. So, literally couldn't do anything. I couldn't... It was almost like we were on lockdown. And so I didn't have the opportunity to date. My first relationship is my wife.
Oh.
She was my first, girlfriend. So, and...
That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So...
Like you found one at the first
shot.
Yeah,
and she's Norwegian. So, and we're allowed to go to movies. We have restrictions on the clothing that we were supposed to wear. Didn't celebrate Christmas, didn't celebrate Thanksgiving or anything, nothing like that, no holidays, anything. So
what?
Yeah, crazy. And so a lot of people say, oh, so aren't you Jehovah's Witness? No, it was nothing like that. It was just one person who had control of the entire congregation. So
can I ask how you got out?
Actually, I got out because funny thing is I attended another church, and doing a Fritz club and like recreational club, and he invited me every Friday to come and hang out and enjoy playing with the other kids and stuff. And he said, well, we do these mission trips. And I said, he asked me specifically if I was interested in doing it. So yeah, I traveled the world. I went to Puerto Rico, was doing mission trips and stuff like that, and building buildings and stuff like that. And then I knew this is the way he treated me from what I was treated in this religious sect. I knew it was totally different. So when I got back, I totally shut myself down from the religious sect. I was there until I was 18, unfortunately. So I had to deal with all of the shenanigans and stuff like that. But how I got out is my last year of high school.
Okay.
And I was singing in this small little group. And so we're singing Phantom of the Opera. So
that's a great musical.
Yeah, it is. So I was singing the lead song.
Oh, yeah. I know it. Yeah.
And so she was like, I think you should go to school for music. And I was like, okay, I never heard of that. And like music conservatory. And she was, cause she was an opera singer. And so she said, just we'll practice a couple of songs and you can go try out. So I tried out for the director. And next thing I know, I was singing classical music, opera. I was singing musicals and stuff like that. So
that's great.
So,
and so much fun. I've studied music myself and it's like a lifestyle. You just live for the music.
Yeah, I was in the practice room 6 hours a day practicing piano, my voice and everything every day.
Oh. Yeah. But it's when it's fun, then it's not a problem to give it that much time.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed just. I had my regular subjects that I was doing in college, but then when I had to sing, it was just. Whoa, crazy. So I really enjoyed it. And I got that also allowed me to travel all over the world and stuff. Mm. So that's how I got out the religious music.
Because that also led you here to Norway, studying music.
Yeah, yeah.
You've studied at the university here in Kristiansand for a year, was it?
For a year.
Yeah.
It was actually supposed to be for a semester, but that's when I met my wife. So, yeah.
Stay a little longer.
Yeah, stay a little longer. So
awesome.
Yeah.
And now you live here.
Yeah, I live here. I've been living here for 8 years. So it's been, you have ups and downs because for me, it's the culture that's a bit hard for me. I was a bit culture shocked because just the way how people, especially in Kristiansand, how they carry themselves, very reserved.
Yeah.
cold, I would say. Yeah. So back home, it was always like, hello. We say hello to strangers. How you doing? And but here, it's just more everybody keeps to themselves, and there's these clicks and stuff. So that was something I had to get used to. Yeah. So
you would say hello, and then you wouldn't get a response.
I wouldn't get a response. Or they would say, do I know you?
Yeah. So. And we also are very afraid if we should know someone and we forgot, because then we feel impolite. Like it's that's the worst part of like, oh shit, should I know who you are?
But I'm blunt. I'm like, I don't do I know who you are? And they say, oh, I'm this person. I say, oh, okay. So I'm very straightforward.
Yeah, okay. Awesome. I think that's the way we should do it. Awesome. We just suck at it.
Yeah. Just suck at it and just move on.
Yeah, but I've actually talked a little bit, short bit about that. In some of the recent episodes, but like I really felt that when I moved here to Norway. I was only 12 years old, but like, and it's only from Denmark to Norway, but like the culture there is pretty close to Norway, and everybody here thought that, okay, yeah, you come from Denmark, it's the same thing, you just ease into it, like in a month. It wasn't that easy, but like I really felt the differences, especially when it came to like hospitality.
Because
back home it was like we were friends with our neighbors and all of that. I guess that's kind of like that some places here in Norway as well. Of course. Generalizing.
Stavanger is an amazing place. They were so friendly when I went to go visit Stavanger. It was just, and of course Oslo, but Stavanger, I was pretty surprised. Very friendly people. So,
but it is definitely a problem we have here in Norway.
Yeah.
I remember like my first neighbor here in Norway. They actually like when I walked out the door, they walked inside the door, even though they were going outside at the same time.
God,
so weird.
That's weird.
Yeah.
What?
That's like Corona times.
But also, experience different kinds of neighbors depends on where you live or which neighborhood you're in. So it is different from places to place in Norway too. But we have a lot to work on when it comes to
the social interaction.
Social interactions, yes. And Corona doesn't help.
No, it doesn't.
It's like this amazing thing for Norwegian. We are not allowed to sit with people on the bus. Yeah. And they're like, yes. And we're not allowed to say hi and whatever.
The funny story is, you know, because we're dealing with Corona, but I feel like since I've been living here, Corona has been here, because when you go to the bus stop, everybody's already spread apart.
It's the same thing.
So it's the same thing. Like,
nothing unusual.
You're not unusual, yeah.
Oh, that's just sad.
Yeah.
It's sad to think about.
Yeah.
But maybe this is what we needed though, because when it's all done, maybe we will actually need more interactions and we'll start to interact with each other.
Exactly. But you've been very... I think Norway is one of the countries that have been actually smart about taking control of the situation with the coronavirus. So,
yeah, or Scandinavia has been doing good, except of Sweden. But we don't talk about that.
But yeah, Norway's been very smart about it. So kudos to the government for that. So
Yeah. Kudos for following Denmark.
Yeah, Denmark was first and Norway that's a good idea. Just to say.
They were actually, yeah.
But now they're holding back, because I've been reading a little bit about how Sweden and Denmark is doing it. And Denmark is thinking about opening the border slowly. And Norway's like, no, quarantine if you pass the borders, and like are keeping it back a little.
Yeah, I think it's going to just wane out till probably August, September.
Yeah, I think so too.
We should be patient.
Yeah, really looking forward for that.
Yeah.
But over to back to our today's theme.
Yeah.
It's actually a little bit relevant to what we talked about right now,
because
You mentioned your first like experience, like just some hours after you got here to Norway. Mm-hmm. It seemed. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
When I was traveled to Oslo.
Yeah.
My wife and I, we were going to visit a friend in Oslo, and went off into the city, and my first introduction, somebody came up to me and said the N-word. Say, hey, what's up, N? And I was like, oh, okay, welcome to Oslo. And my wife was pretty upset, and her friend was upset, but I actually just shrug it off. I laughed it off because I'm used to it. I mean, being from the South in America, I mean, we hear it every day. So it's just, it wasn't like problematic for me.
But cool for her to stand up for you though. And like, yeah, this is not cool.
No, it wasn't cool. And, it's not. I mean, it's not to hear those words say to the person of my skin color. I mean, it's not fun. But like I said, I've gotten used to it. So. Mm.
But I think it's also maybe a way to start to do something about it is to talk to each and one about what it's supposed to be like, or like, that's not cool, man.
No, it's
and
not.
Just like correct them in the right direction.
Yeah. It's not cool. So actually I've been in that position where I've heard kids say that word, and I actually, especially at my job, and I've confronted them about it. I said, I say, do you know the meaning of that word?
Yeah.
And the answer is, oh, well, I just hear it off the music and the media. I said, well, you really need to research that word and understand why it's not so good to say it. I mean, I don't even say the word myself, and I am a Black American, so, but I don't say that word because
really
the history just, it's, I don't want my kids to experience what I've experienced it.
Yeah.
So if I use that word and they hear daddy using that word, they're going to use it themselves. And I don't want them to use that word because it's just a negative connotation about that word. So,
yeah, because we talked a little bit about that before we started, about the insanely long history that this is.
Yeah.
And
almost
how far back it is.
Over 400, about 400 years, I believe. 300?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
It's too terrible, I think, for the mind to even figure it out on its own without actually experiencing it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've experienced the as far as the racism, I experienced it worse at home.
In America?
Here in Norway, it's hidden.
Yeah.
It's hidden. It's very hidden.
It's hidden in the everyday racism.
Yeah, I can see it. In I can see it on people's persona when I meet a person or something. I can see it because I'm used to it. I know that look, and I know that how the demeanor and how they carry themselves towards a person of color. So, but they keep it very hidden, very secret.
Yeah.
So here in Norway,
The most people I've talked about this with, they're like, I noticed that, like, people on the bus, they like keep to themselves a little bit more. It seems they like shrug their shoulders away from you and stuff like that.
I mean, when I'm on a bus, nobody comes sit by me.
Wow.
What?
I'm serious.
But what do they think? Like,
I don't know. I mean, there's
nobody does that to me.
The funny thing is, like, there's one spot, but like at the back of the bus is always filled, and my spot is always empty.
But like,
it's funny. And the thing is, I'm just like, okay. So there's always other Black people that probably sit by me, or maybe who's somebody who's a Norwegian who's just tired and they just want to sit down. But most of the time, no, nobody sits by me in the bus.
Wow.
Yeah. It's okay. That's space for me.
True.
Growing into the culture. Norwegian culture.
Awesome. But isn't that maybe worse with the hidden racism than the open one?
Yeah,
because the open one you can kind of confront.
Yeah, yeah.
But the hidden one is much harder to confront, because you can't actually take them for it. You just notice it, but you can't like actually say something about it. Like, you just give me a look, and they can just, no, I didn't.
Exactly. You can't assume that they're racist. You can't do that. So you have to, or judge them. So you just have to kind of feel it out and interact. That's why it's important to interact, because you can tell by the interaction if they are, what's their intent on getting to know you. So, that's how I approach it. So,
but you want to tell a little bit more about how it's back home?
Back home, it's definitely. I have a story. Before I even... I was scheduled to come to Norway as an exchange student in 2010, but it was a couple months before that, and I was back home visiting my mother, And I went to meet some friends and just had a few drinks. Nothing. My alcohol limit was like super low. And I was a few meters from my house and then the sirens came on. And I was like, oh, okay, here we go. So the guy came up to the vehicle and he was a white guy, white cop. And he said, I see that you were swerving a little bit on the road. And I was like, okay, I said, and he asked me for my license and registration, insurance and stuff like that. So I gave it to him. And then he came back to the car. He said, sir, have you anything in the car or drugs? And I said, no, I don't have anything. I said, I'm just a few meters from my house. And he said, okay, would you mind taking a breathalyzer test? And I said, yeah, sure. And so I took it because in that situation, we need to understand when it comes to the cops that you have to be calm at all times. So I was very calm.
Okay, yeah. And because so, if you start to stress,
then things start to happen. So I was very calm, got out the car, took the breathalyzer test, took this walking test. And afterwards he called into the office and then he said, you're arrested. And I was like, what? I said, what am I arrested for? He said, you're arrested for DUI. And I was like, I knew right then he was racially profiling me. And so,
but weren't you walking or were you driving?
I was driving.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
But, after that, he took me to the car and I started talking to him. I said, sir, I said, we say sir back home because that's I'm from the South. I said, I'm a college student. I said, I think you are actually racial profiling me right now. He said, no, I'm not. Did he choke? Huh?
Did he choke?
Yeah, he was stumbling when I said I'm a caller, and I was speaking very eloquently and everything like that. And you know, because they when they racial profile, it's like they think we all are thugs or something like that. We have something in a car. They always ask that and stuff like that. So I went to the radio station doing the fingerprint test and all that stuff, and then they started like questioning if I was taking drugs and something like that. So they took me to the hospital to get drug tested. It was crazy.
That work.
Yeah. The nurse, she asked me, she said, why are you here? I said, I don't know. She said, I think this is crazy. I said, yeah. And so, the next day I actually spent 24 hours in jail.
What?
Yeah. 24
I didn't
hours.
Know this.
24 hours in jail. And, went to the bondsman, the jail, the judge. He even said to me, he said, what are you doing here? I said, I don't know. So I got bailed out and everything like that. And then my mom, she was just like, what is going on? I told my mom, I think I've been racially profiled. And so I had to go to court because we had to go in front of the judge and try to see how to work out the citations and all that stuff. And three times they had to take the case back and not do the case because they didn't have evidence. It was crazy. Like, so I had to come back and forth from school, which was 2.5 hours away, back to court to handle this situation on three occasions. And so my mother got a call and she said, and the lieutenant who was in control of the case, he said, tell your son in joy, no way. The case has been expunged off the record.
Awesome. Oh,
that's so great that it has a happy ending.
Yeah, I was, but it wasn't the time that I spent in jail. It was crazy because you're with a bunch of guys.
Yeah, because it's not like here in Norway where you're at, you're on your own, in your own cell.
Yeah.
You're spending a cell with someone else.
A lot of people in this huge containment. It was crazy.
Because the jail you're talking about, that's in Norway, or like it's the same in Norway. It's you have your each individual cell.
No,
especially if it's only for like 24 hours or whatever.
No, it wasn't like that.
Oh,
so it's actually like you see in the movies, like for instance, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
wild.
But that's crazy, how was the people you spent the night with?
I kept to myself.
Spent the night with, that sounds weird, but yeah, you know what I mean.
I kept to myself. I just sat there like a statue.
Yeah.
They were giving us food, but I didn't eat the food. I just drank water.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't want to eat the food because I don't know. You never know. You just have to be kind of safe. So
crazy, dude.
So and then across from there, you could see the glass and the actual inmates who are serving time.
Oh, and they were just right beside.
Yeah, it was right beside.
Oh my God!
And they were just staring at us, and I was like, "Wow, this is crazy." So
wow,
especially when you're innocent and you're just sitting there like. Yeah. Ooh.
So they had no evidence, and like I said, it was expunged from my record. So, I was just like, that was the most craziest time, and this before I had to go to Norway. Yeah. So,
this is pretty crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So but
that wouldn't happen in Norway.
No,
he was racially profiling me.
Yeah, definitely.
So. But yeah, I don't think the cops is racially profiling that much in Norway.
Not too much.
Not too
but
much.
But there are some black sheep there as well. Definitely.
Yes. Yeah.
I've heard stories.
Yeah, there is.
I've heard stories as well from, it's a guy I know, he does a lot of photography like late night.
Mm.
And he says he can see things happening and stuff like that. So, and actually I did a kind of a racial video for him to teach other people about what's going on, like getting beat up and things like that
but
because
it's like
of the color of your skin. So
you can be at the wrong place at the wrong time, kind of.
Yeah.
So you're just being the most unlucky person.
Yeah, I was very unlucky, but I look at the situation as kind of I gave the guy up in the I accept his apology, but I didn't get an apology or anything. But I kind of feel
you forgive
empathy.
Him.
I forgive him, and I feel empathy for him because his character, like
But that's actually pretty crazy when it comes to that stuff. I watched an episode of Patriot Act about policing in the States, and they're like they showed. Do you know the show? It's with Hasan Minhaj.
No.
Anyways, he shows a lot of like clips of what they learn and how many hours they do training on different stuff. And they actually only have 8 hours of training for de-escalating stuff.
Wow.
And 129 hours training on weapons and fighting.
Oh, that's crazy. And that's not enough time. 8 hours is...
Definitely not.
And that's what's going on right now. I don't think the cops... When they are in these type of altercations, they kind of, I think they fear for their life.
Yeah.
And say but they don't know how to calm themselves down and de-escalate the situation. Yeah. And so now that's why you have these killings.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's people as well. Something to talk about too.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of the policing or the police here in Norway.
Yeah.
When it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
Because they really train for that, not for combat.
I mean,
they're not soldiers, but it's a totally different environment.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't wear guns too. They have that in their cars.
Yeah.
They don't wear them. They have to physically move to the car and get it if they need it.
Yeah.
So it's even much more like you really think about it before you actually go and get the gun and weapon and stuff.
But I really do understand that why some cops are very on their toes because there are some neighborhoods in America that are very hardcore, and the gun laws there are crazy.
Yeah,
but definitely, like this shooting that happened recently. I don't remember his name, but the
Ahmaud Arbery.
Yeah, the one jogging in a white neighborhood. Mm-hmm. That's like, I get so disgusted.
I mean,
by that.
I think he was. We don't know. We have to wait till the evidence come out. But from the video, it's like almost he was hunted.
Yeah,
he was hunted down and.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
And that's actually, for me, that's kind of modern lynching.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. And the police, they have all the, how do you say, like, they have all the power.
Yeah, all the power.
Yeah. The thing is, if you look at if you read the Constitution, it's actually the people who has the power.
Hmm.
But I think now in my country, the government and... It wants to take control, and so the government is kind of controlling the police as well to do all this unnecessary killings, you know. So we the people have to kind of start standing on our two feet to fight this.
Definitely. So. But I'm afraid that we aren't going to really see a big change until big things start happening until the people start taking control.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to happen before, like, we see stuff like in the 90s in California.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With the riots and stuff that. I don't think we're ever going to see that, like, a big change until that.
Yeah.
It's going backwards.
Because the police do have so much power when it comes to arrest the cops.
Yeah.
For bad behavior. Yeah. They have so much power.
Yeah, they have so much power.
With the unions. You should really see the episode, because they really go in depth about this and why they're like that. And they also, the Patriot Act, he interviews a professor at the policing school.
Mm-hmm.
And here he's like, you have to be on your toes at all times.
Wow.
And it's so ridiculous, because in the interview, he's like, yeah, let's play this game. And they do the finger gun game. And he's like, wow, bang, you're dead.
Wow.
And that's he's a professor there.
Wow.
No wonder why so many cops are so...
on their toes.
Yeah.
But like... not to talk too much about politics, I'm going to round
policing.
Up soon, but like, I think also the leaders, if you talk about like the presidents and the governments, and seeing how they affect, like when you got Obama, the first black president, I think that had so much to say.
Yeah.
And so many good changes in mindsets and the way of doing stuff. And for him to go out and be such a good person and show like, a good way to do things. Like, he wasn't perfect, and he's human too, and had to take a lot of bad calls that he maybe don't want to do, but had to do as a president.
I mean, he got gray hair from it in that short span.
Everybody.
And then Trump taking over and do... I don't even want to go onto that.
He's a businessman.
Yeah, he is.
He's a businessman. I mean,
is he though?
He is. I mean, actually, if you look, the economy right now has gone up because of him.
But he still does a lot of weird shit.
Of course, I totally agree. Like, I think he is a lunatic, but...
it's weird how he gets away with a lot of things that he says.
Yeah.
But that's not the point. The point is what leaderships on the top at the moment shows off in the state or the country and public and everything.
Yeah.
And how the mindsets have changed just for those 4 years already been passed.
Yeah. I mean, people are more aggressive now.
Well, and I think maybe that's not the only solution, but I think the influence that one guy or woman, whatever, can have. And how important that is.
Mm.
So I love the democracy that you have, like a president, because in Norway we have a king, the king doesn't have any powers.
I wonder about that. Like,
he does have a little bit of power.
Or he has a little bit. Like,
he can say no to things, but he has a veto.
In the laws, he just never use it because he agrees. And the king in Norway, or all the kings that have been so far, are where like the people are the one to decide.
Okay.
So if we decide who's sitting in the government...
Mm-hmm.
Then he's like, okay, but you've decided, and if this is the laws that they are putting in now, most likely it's going to be the good way to do it. So normally
he
wouldn't.
Well, that's cool that he allows that to do that. I mean, people to do that, because, I mean...
I think the only time he said no, was during the war, when Germany tried to like, okay, but just settle down and do as we say, and it will be fine, just cooperate.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, no. The government is going to take this choice, but I'm going off as your king if you're saying yes to this.
Yeah.
So that's my like ultimatum.
Yeah.
So he gave them an ultimatum, but it was still the government choice. So they could decide to go with Germany if they wanted to, but then we wouldn't have a king anymore. And we just got him.
Yeah,
he was the first king of Norway.
Yeah.
But he also gave them that ultimatum. So I think that's a really democracy way of doing it.
He had to flee to Britain, right?
Yeah, he did at last. Yeah. He traveled for 2 or 3 days to the north, and then he had to flee in the end. Yeah, but that's another story.
Yeah, that's another story. Yeah. But I know the history because I actually went to Kadunks and learned more about the Norwegian part of the war. So it was really interesting. So
it is.
Yeah.
But I think the leadership has a lot to say. I don't think it's the only answer, but I think it is a way to go.
Yeah.
to have the that influence.
Yeah.
But we should round up like we used to do. Yeah. Or do you have more questions?
I think we've covered everything I wanted to.
Yeah.
I could talk for hours about this.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
The roundup is quite nice actually, because mm-hmm. we always round up with the guest or with us together talking about how we can make a change each mm-hmm. individual.
Yeah.
Like what can each person do to make it better? What should we think about?
Yeah.
And we also have a phrase, what are you laughing about now? We also have a phrase that we say, how would you say it in English?
I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Behandle folk som folk. Like treat people as people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the way to translate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we kind of live by it in the podcast, but mm-hmm. we also like to go around it and talk about it in each theme. Like round about it. Yeah.
Okay.
So what do you think we could do about like the racial theme
issues
though?
In Norway.
The issues.
The racial issues in Norway.
Yeah. Like
how can each individual do to make it a little bit better?
I think, man, it's really hard, especially in a small country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it should be talked about more.
Definitely.
More openly.
Mm.
Ask questions.
Yeah, ask questions.
Like, be curious in a good way.
Yeah, because then we can find out. We can find out the problem and what people have an issue with when it comes to maybe the people of color.
Yeah.
And maybe we can explain to them, or I don't know. It's really hard for me to say because
of course
I've been on the stick end of racism. So, I don't know. I've been only living here for 8 years.
Only.
I haven't really experienced heavily racism here. So, it's a good question because everything is so hidden.
Yeah, definitely. I see too much everyday racism and or prejudice in general. I see too much of it in the smaller town area of Norway.
Mm-hmm.
Too much of it, actually. It's actually kind of scaring me, to be honest.
Okay.
And I really think that the media has a big job to do when it comes to equality in general, but like especially racial issues, because they really have painted a lot of people, or that's weird to say, but like that really have painted a bad picture, or what you say.
I also think I have like not an answer, but a thought to the question I asked you about how to treat people or how to think. And I think it's all about mindsets to be more open. And it's easy to say and hard to follow to be more open-minded. Yeah. But I think you need to talk to yourself in your own mind. And when you get those maybe bad thoughts, like, oh, I don't want to sit with him because he looks different and I feel scared, then just do it and see what's happening.
Yeah.
Because you're surprised. The bus. You would be on the bus with a lot of other Norwegians and the bus driver. What's bad could happen on a Norwegian bus?
Yeah.
So just sit and see what happens. Maybe start a conversation and learn something.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. You know, black people, we cool, you know?
You are.
People and I love the chill. Different nationalities.
Different nationalities is cool. There's so many. Yeah.
There's so many like beautiful people and like
so many
interesting people. Yeah, we Norwegian people really have to like open up there.
Yeah,
but like you're
but
so
you starting
chill.
To though. But you actually definitely. Starting to. I know it's
slowly. But it is.
I think it's really helping with the younger generations.
Yeah, we're more open minded. Yes, we are. But it's always been like that the younger generation always are a little bit more open minded.
Yeah, but one ups the other.
So yeah, yes. What's up?
Oh, the time.
Yes,
we should.
We are actually done right now, so that's cool. Perfect. Because you have to go. You have to go
get your kids.
Yes, fatherhood.
Yeah. Three kids.
It's beautiful
amazing.
Too. Though.
It's beautiful. Oh, it's been amazing. Look, watching them every day. Yeah, I'm proud.
So proud cool parent. That your kids are speaking both English and Norwegian in an age of like 6 and 2 and 4.
Yeah. How did you know that?
I guessed.
Wow, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I remember you said 6 and 2, and then I guessed the fourth one was me, or the third
nice.
One was before.
Yeah, they're just improving every much in the language, because a lot of people were, we got a lot of, not criticism, because I think that's another thing that, you know, we just need to be open-minded about. When someone is married to interracial couple or even different nationalities married to each other, we need to be a little bit more patient about the language. So and now my kids are
great,
vastly improving in both languages. So
it's incredible.
It's awesome. But to the listeners, because we have to really have to round up right now, go check out Dion Isaiah on Spotify.
Yeah,
he has a lot of songs coming up.
Yes. Or we'll do it.
And
we can
check out,
we
get
can,
back to you. It's really awesome.
Yeah,
we can share it on our page.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
And I have a new single coming up with a collaborator from Mexico, which will be coming out in 3rd of July. So
awesome.
Looking forward to it.
Really looking forward to hear that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming and talking about this so openly.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you
really
for having me.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. We will get back to you.
Yeah.
Okay, see you next week.